you know how there are brunching gays?
Yeah, I am one of those.
Yes, mm-hmm. this is our brunching episode. It's our brunchisode.
Oh, it is kind of brunch time.
It is kind of brunch time. It is exactly brunch time.
It is brunch time.
We have no mimosas, only coffee.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is sad. But
I just don't have either part of mimosas here in this house right now.
Next time I bring it. I don't care if we record at like 6 o'clock in the evening. I'm going to bring...
Well, here's what's wonderful about brunch.
Yeah.
Is every time is brunch time.
That's true.
Brunch is a state of mind.
Brunch is a state of mind. That's the name of this episode.
So, brunch is a state of mind.
No, the brunching state of mind.
The brunching state of mind.
Yes, or in a brunching state of mind. Something like that.
We'll work on it.
We will.
Yeah, so listener, it doesn't matter what time it is that you're listening to this. When we said it's brunch time, it's still accurate.
You know what I want to say just really quick? I really like that every episode we pick like one specific hill to die on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in our last one, it was nipples. And mm-hmm. in this one, it's everything is brunch.
Everything is brunch.
All the time.
Yeah. Are you eating ice cream at 3 a.m. talking about your breakup? That's brunch.
That's brunch.
Yeah. Are you up at 5 a.m. about to go to the gym and you just had a protein shake?
That's brunch. Yeah. Are you eating dinner at a regular time and having a good family meal?
Weird.
That's
brunch.
That's brunch.
Yeah.
If you want it to be brunch.
It's brunch.
It's brunch. And I think that we will now try and convince you that everything is brunch.
I think that we already did it. They're already on board.
You should convince other people that everything is brunch.
So listen, do you guys know how cults start?
Welcome to Brunch! Today we will be talking about food. I am your co-host, Maddie.
Who am I?
Today you're Doug.
Oh, I'm Doug.
You always get to be Doug.
It's a blessing and a curse. Mm. Mostly a curse.
Mostly.
Mostly just terrible.
You look great in your crop top.
Thank you. I decided to do the crop top jeans combo today.
I know. I really like it. Yeah. I really like the it's kind of tie-dye with the white.
Yeah.
Jeans. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I'm into it for sure.
This is actually a KC native company called Made Mob that made this shirt that I then cropped.
Yes.
I cropped the top.
You cropped the top.
You know, I heard the other day the term for a short, like, gay man who's a top is a crop top.
I love it so much. I love it.
And that's all I'm going to say from now on. Like, oh, yeah, a crop top.
I had to come to terms with the fact that, like, I don't think I'll ever be a top. But I really like top energy.
Yeah.
I just, like...
I go through phases.
Yeah.
Like, I like to top... Mom, stop listening. I like to top, but like lately I've kind of been moving more into like a bottom phase, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you've been in a top phase for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
It's time for a change.
Time for a change. Just time to shake it up. You know, new year, new me.
Yeah, I would
it's
never.
It's August.
Somebody posted, new year, new me, but it's August. But it's 2020 and time doesn't matter. New year, new me.
Oh my God. So when we worked at the bar and, you know, I worked on comedy night.
Yeah.
The, like, host, every set would do this. Everybody did the same jokes. But his joke was a new year, new me joke. And he did it throughout the year. Like, it would be, like, November. And he's like, new year, new me, new year, new me. I'm like, no, this one's almost over. Old year, old you.
Old jokes, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Comedy night was the fucking worst.
It was. I did. So I got just super petty one night.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise.
Yeah.
And
justifiably.
Like the next week was going to be, for comedy night, it was going to be character night. And so he jokingly was like, are you going to do a character? I was like, yeah, I'm going to do you. I'm just going to scream into the microphone with the same jokes for months.
Oh my God. The guy who screams?
Yeah.
The guy who screams made me so angry. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell
like,
you.
Like, after a while of doing comedy night week after week, it just, you're inoculated. But yeah, like, literally what this guy would do is he would, his whole shtick was just shouting.
And it was literally like Trump shouting, like, incoherent sentences, mm-hmm. basically just glorified baby babble.
It was like,
at the volume of...
It was loud. It was like shrieking, yeah, basically. Yeah. And it was just, terrible. And he's like a mainstay comic in Kansas City. Like, he's all over the place.
Which I don't understand.
I don't. Well, I'm just going to say, I'm assuming not a lot of Kansas City comedians are listening right now. But if you are, just take these notes. Kansas City comedy is not great. There's very few. There's some great comedians, and I don't mind saying them by name. Joe Nunick is one of them. He's a fantastic local comedian. That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah.
Oh God, what is his name? There's another one, and he's just so awkward in real life, but he's really awkward on stage too. Yeah. It just in a way that is funny.
And several female comics who came through. I wish I could remember.
There's one. She was on Last Comic Standing. Yeah. And she's a local here, and she's just like. She has this whole bit, which I'm not sure the more I get to know her is a bit, where she's just, like, given up on life. and then there's one, her name is Brittany something, and she's local, and she's fairly new to the scene. And she's,
I love Brittany, yeah.
She's so fucking funny.
Yes.
she has this whole bit where she has this ghost in her apartment, mm-hmm. and she's like, I got a new boyfriend. It's a ghost that haunts my apartment. And he always just says the cutest things. Like, just the other day, you know, I was sitting in the kitchen and he goes, get out of my house! It's just, she's funny.
She is good. There was one day where I was listening to her and she had this joke. And I can't remember exactly what the joke was. But it was basically a poop joke. Mm-hmm. But she couldn't totally commit to it. So she kind of started to fall from the joke, but was laughing at herself doing it. And mm-hmm. it was the cutest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it was like, the joke would have been really funny if she had like been in it, but she wasn't. So it wasn't like a super funny joke, but it was just funny.
It was cute.
Yeah, it was funny and cute the way that she was going around it. It was great.
So there are some good comedians in Kansas City. And if you're listening, Kansas City comedian, I'm talking about you. You're one of the good ones for sure. Keep listening to our podcast. Rate us 5 stars. I'm so close to remembering that guy's name. I'll remember it like in 20 minutes.
Probably.
So food.
Right. So food is a good, food and comedy go well together, I suppose.
Yeah. In that you eat the food to distract yourself from the comedy.
From the terrible comedy that's happening.
Like food is really the only solace that you can take other than the drink.
Yeah. I'm still upset and I don't know if we'll cut this out or not, but I worked, because you worked comedy night. I worked comedy brunch.
Oh, it's comedy brunch, hot waffle. We've complained about hot waffle. We must have complained about it.
So we got a lot of the same comedians, but like there was difference.
The exact same
I just want to take a moment and say that the name of the show that took place during brunch while you were eating was called Hot Waffle.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to say.
It's not funny. We definitely have done this before.
We have complained. I'm sure we have. It's literally one word away from being blue waffle. Just call it that.
Twat waffle. Twat waffle is funny.
Yes.
Isn't it? Just funny.
And waffle, the word waffle isn't
somebody,
funny.
Yeah, one of those where like, waffle. Waffle.
You eat waffles.
Waffle, it's hot. We're serving some hot waffle.
And then the guy would come up on stage and just scream. And I'd be like, oh my God, get the fuck out.
You know what every comedy show needs is a drag consultant. Because they will know how to be witty mm-hmm. and funny. And they'll take out the rest of the trash.
If I can just take it like a small aside. And I'm sure I've talked about this before. But the reason why I am so personally attacked by bad comedy and in this context of just screaming buzzwords mm-hmm. just to see what happens. I can't even believe that he is like a mainstay comic in Kansas City because I've never heard anybody laugh at him. Just
ever. It's so awkward. It's always awkward. Like people give like these like nervous laughs.
Yes, it's just nervous laughing. But the reason why it bothers me so much, and if you are a comedian or you want to get into comedy, please listen to me. When you are on stage and you have the boom boom loud stick, you are now the authority in the room for what the tone and what the conduct and what the vibe and the way that people will interact with one another for the rest of that time will be. You have a legitimate responsibility while you are on stage to set that tone.
Yeah.
It means if you get on stage and you just scream buzzwords and obscenities and make fun of people or pull people out of the crowd to make fun of each other, you have now created a really tense environment where conflict is the mainstay. And that is A, not fucking funny.
Yeah.
And B, kind of really bad and almost dangerous in some time. So don't do that.
Well, yeah, nothing says comedy like nervous tension.
Yeah. Like, you've just created conflict. It's bad. Read any comedy book ever. And
I think it's easier for some than others to, like, work a crowd.
Yeah.
For sure. But, like, if you don't know, like, I think it's easy to say both of us are performers at heart. Like, we like to perform. We like to work a room.
Yeah.
And you've got to know how to work a room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and read a room. And get them hyped in a way that is good for your comedy.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, maybe comedy is not your thing. Maybe.
Or maybe just learn a little bit. Like, it's all a learning curve.
If all you want to do is scream into a mic, maybe you can, like, be an announcer at pro wrestling matches.
That would be good.
Yeah, like, that might be your thing.
And that would actually be funny in that context.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. Anyways.
Okay,
this is our comedy podcast about comedy.
About how we hate comedy.
This is our comedy podcast where we just fucking rip other comics.
I'm just saying, there's...
Would we call ourselves comics?
Comics? I don't know.
We haven't done a lot of stand-up, but...
No.
Or any.
It's technically a comedy podcast. It's a satire podcast.
I used to MC a lot of events, and a lot of my MCing was very comedic.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as stand-up comedy.
Yeah. What was your favorite thing to scream at the audience? Because that's the standard.
I just scream tits a lot. Tits! Tits!
Like, I remember in middle school when the funniest thing that you could do is just yell penis really loud.
And that's... still true. It's still the thing you can do.
It is still true. So anyway, that's a tangent that I'm sure we have gone over before, and I will do it again.
Yeah, we spent a good 10 minutes just now ranting about comedians.
But it does connect because it did, like I said, it was comedy brunch called Hot Waffle, which just makes me upset to say those two words together.
Hot Waffle.
Gross.
Yeah, at least that was only once a month. But anyway. So I have a good transition.
Yes.
Last night, I made some fucking fantabulous fried chicken.
Fried chicken?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Okay, so I got a little experimental.
Wait, before... I want you to tell me what tools of the kitchen that you use. Like, did you or did you not use a cast iron skillet?
So I didn't use a cast iron skillet.
Okay.
For no other reason than I have a skillet that I like for fried foods.
Gotcha.
It's got like a 2 or 3 inch wall around it.
Okay.
And so it keeps a lot of the grease from popping on the Douglas.
Gotcha.
So, and I was also wearing a crop top yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want oil on my belly. Here's what I do. To make fried chicken, so you start with getting 2 big mixing bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first one, you put, at the very least, milk and eggs.
Yes.
And you whisk it together.
Yep.
In the second one, you put your flour, your breadcrumbs, and your spices.
Mm.
And you mix that all together.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just dip in the milk, put in the flour, put on the skillet,
mm-hmm.
and fried chicken has happened. But this time, what I did is I melted like half a stick of butter,
mm-hmm.
and I put it in with the milk and eggs, mm-hmm. and then I took some ranch mm-hmm. and liberally applied it in there.
Gotcha.
Whisked it all together. Now, I did have an issue where the ranch stayed at like kind of the top.
I was going to say it might separate.
But yeah. So what I did is before each chicken, I whisked it, and then I just skimmed the chicken along the top
mm-hmm.
to get the ranch, and then... always apply more, in my opinion, more flour than you think you're going to need.
Yeah, agreed.
So, like, liberally applied it. And then it just made this, like... oh, I put a lot of lemon pepper in the flour.
Mm-hmm.
So it,
that'd be good with ranch.
Yeah, so lemon pepper ranch just kind of made this, like, nice, tangy, zesty breading that mm-hmm. was just thick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was delicious. It was the best fried chicken I've ever made.
That's amazing. I love it. I have not made fried chicken... I don't think I've really ever successfully made fried chicken.
Oh, well, I'll show you my ways.
Your ways? I did make, a few weeks ago, I made fried green tomatoes.
So. Ooh, I do love fried green mm-hmm. tomatoes, mm-hmm. and I also love the movie Fried Green Tomatoes.
I also love the movie Fried Green Tomatoes. Let me tell you guys this. This was how in the closet I was for so long that I would literally thought that they were just two women who lived together. They're just really good friends.
They're just roommates.
But here's the thing. All of the South who loves that movie and made it, because Fried Green Tomatoes is a very Southern thing,
mm-hmm.
also thought that they were just
a couple of gals being pals, you know?
Just hanging out in the same house, just BFFs.
You know?
No, it's gay. They're gay.
What's kind of nice about lesbian erasure
yeah.
for lesbians... is that, like, in the South, you can basically just be gal pals and...
it's fine.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Everybody's like, yeah, my aunts live together.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I don't know where the second bedroom is, but...
my aunt lived with her friend for 30 years, and it was fine. But, no, I love that movie. I love that two lesbians just cooked a rapist and served it to townsfolk.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm into it. And then Kathy Bates, huh?
Yep. Everything. So. I mean, everything about it.
Yeah.
It's great. And
it's
then it came back into my brain like a couple weeks ago, because literally doing nothing, I was just like, at the farmer's market, saw some green tomatoes. Oh yeah, some are fried green tomatoes would be good. The movie flashes into my head and I was like, oh my god, they were gay.
Yeah. Aaron Scarborough.
That's a comedian. Oh, I did it.
All right. That's like...
He's a good one.
That's that was 2 points. One. 2 points were done. So I made fried green tomatoes and I did, in the flour mixture, a lot of Cajun seasoning, a bit of umami mushroom flavor.
I do like umami.
Yeah.
I also like saying umami.
Yes. It's a good word. Umami. Yeah, umami. And then in the egg and milk mixture, a good amount of hot sauce.
Ooh, okay, what kind of hot sauce?
Cholula is always good.
I love Cholula. That's my favorite. I'm allergic to many a hot sauce because I'm allergic to cayenne pepper, but Cholula is not cayenne pepper, so I can have it, and it's delicious.
And I also put a little bit of cayenne pepper in the thing. I haven't totally figured out ratios in the frying yet because they weren't as spicy as you would think.
So if you're adding to the flour... Mm-hmm. Into the breading, you have to add way more than you think you need.
Yeah, which is what I learned. Yeah. So I did that. That was my frying experience. And I just fried them in a pot.
I make a rule when I'm frying things that, like, if I want a particular spice or flavor to stand out from the breading, I sniff the flour, and if I can't really smell it, then I need more.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good rule. I'm definitely going to do it again. So I did that, and then I actually made a remoulade.
What is that?
A remoulade is like the Cajun, what is it called? Like a Cajun aioli, basically.
Oh, okay.
So it's like...
I like a good aioli.
A good, like,
did
mustard.
Can you put that on the...
On the bread. So I toasted up some bread. Mm-hmm. I actually did wheat bread. I enjoy wheat bread for sandwiches. So I toasted up wheat bread, and I did this remoulade on both sides.
Okay.
Then the fried green tomatoes, and then I put some greens on top of that. And avocado, just sliced avocado.
Okay. Together. Okay. That I like good. That. That sounds really good. Obviously, fried chicken and fried green tomatoes, two foods we like.
Two foods we like.
What are some other foods that you like?
I really enjoy... I'm really into, like, cucumber sandwiches lately.
Really?
Because I'm a fancy bitch.
That is fancy. Do you do it at your, like, tea time?
Cut the crust off.
Cut the crust off and do, like the little triangles that are just not enough for anybody.
No. And I have learned that any amount of cucumber that you eat, even if you eat just cucumber and you eat like 60,000 of them, you will not be full.
You never. But it's refreshing. Like, refreshing. That's what I love about cucumber and any cucumber-based food is it just feels like...
Refreshing.
Yeah, it feels like you just like went for a nice little dip in the pool.
There's a particular blend of coffee that I really enjoy from Revo Cup that... is cucumbery and it's like a very satisfying nice cup of coffee, but it's also refreshing.
I don't know. I cannot fathom what cucumbery coffee would taste like.
It doesn't necessarily taste like cucumber. It just is refreshing. It just has that ending to it. Like you drink it and it's coffee and it's good, but it's just light at the end. It's just kind of
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So besides cucumber sandwiches,
yes.
What are some other foods that you like?
I enjoy all kinds of food. I really like Cajun food, although it's something that I have to make at home just because it's hard to get either vegan or vegetarian Cajun food.
It is. It's all very kind of pork-based.
Yes. That being said,
crawfish.
Yeah. Crawfish is one of my favorites.
Oh my god. So I used to, with my friend, we would sneak onto this farm property when I was younger. There's a creek and we would catch crawdads and cook them, and it was amazing.
It's so good. Like they have no right being as good as they are, because I don't super love like shellfish, and especially now that I don't really eat meat, I mm-hmm. the texture I can't, but I have very fond memories of crawfish.
Yeah, that's, I think that like, yeah, crawfish is a nostalgia piece for me because it reminds me of when I was a kid and we used to do that.
Yeah, which is awesome. And we used to catch them out in the creek behind when we lived in Atlanta.
Hot Lana.
Hot Lana. Hot waffle.
Hot waffle.
If you don't say it, I'm just going to throw up.
And then please don't say it in my office.
So I like that. Of course, like, oh, the other day, I love tacos. I made chimichangas not too long ago.
You did? I got to benefit from those chimichangas. They were delicious.
They were so good. I was very proud of them. Did you notice that in the container I used a tortilla to soak up the oil?
Yes. And then so I ate the individual chimichangas, and then there was, you know, the detritus of like the guacamole and stuff like
that.
Right.
So I was hoping you could.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, just put like a paper towel. But then I was like, no.
Yeah, to you. It was smart. Yeah. I liked it. It was a nice little, like, bonus once I was done and wanted more.
So, Tex-Mex, anything like that. I've been experimenting with lentils. I made, from that same base of stuff that was in the chimichanga, I actually cooked that down, added soy sauce, barbecue sauce, and a couple of other things, and I made sloppy joes with the red lentils, which was really good.
Now, you are mostly vegetarian.
Yes.
Do you eat fish?
On occasion, like for like a, let's say we are out and we're like visiting my mom or there's like a special occasion, and we want to go eat sushi, that's okay.
So like if I tell you that I really want to do like a fish fry with some red beans and rice, would you be down for that?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I'll mostly eat the red beans and rice.
Yeah. Well, I'll make some more besides that, but I just have been craving
a fish fry.
Yeah. Fish fry. Actually, there's one happening on Saturday, like two blocks down where apparently the perfect neighbors live. They were having a yard sale and I went down and bought some stuff from them and they're like, hey, just so you know, we're having a fish fry on Saturday if you want to come by. And I was like, shut up.
Shut your mouth. You gotta go.
I have to go. They were so sweet too. They just like super hospitable. They were like, actually, we're gonna have hot dogs later if you want to come back. And I was like,
yes.
I mean, who are you people?
Can you adopt me? I love that. I love a good neighbor. I do love that about food, that it really brings people together.
Yeah, because it does.
Yeah, I don't know if you feel this way too. I mean, we both were cooks, but it's nice to give people food.
It is. That's, I think, one of like my favorite ways to show friendship and affection is by making food for somebody.
Yeah.
And I just enjoy making food, like, for the challenge of it. Not a challenge, but, like, the experience. I made sorbet.
Did you really?
I made raspberry lemonade sorbet.
That sounds delicious.
I just happened across, I was not looking for this recipe at all, but I use this app called Tasty. And it was just, like, one of the first recipes on, like, the homepage. And I looked at it, and it's simple.
Yeah.
Very simple. It's literally make raspberry simple syrup. And then put some raspberries and lemon juice in a blender with the simple syrup. Blend it up, put in the freezer for 12 hours, and it's good to go.
That is so easy.
It is so easy. And it is delicious.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah. It's so easy because it's literally 2 cups of everything. You know, you're 2 cups of water, 2 cups of sugar, 2 cups of raspberries in the simple. And then another 2 cups where it's a cup and a half of raspberry and half a cup of lemon juice.
Yeah.
And so it's just really easy to remember.
That is really easy to remember. Oh, you know what I have taken from our time at the bars? You know how we used to batch make cocktails? Okay. The only thing I didn't like about it is all the alcohol that we would use was really harsh.
Well, it was just like the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like the watermelon mojito, I feel like could have been better if it was just a better alcohol.
Yeah, it was. Because that's rum, right? Am I remembering that right?
I think it was rum.
Yeah, and the rum that we used for, like, this, our silver rum was very, like, overpowering.
It was almost overpowering. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. We ate a lot of rum-infused
watermelon. Oh, my God. Yeah. From the watermelon mojitas, like, I would just put them in, like, a ramekin and just eat them and to get real drunk.
I think I left you them. Like, you. Yeah, I would leave them a little bit like that, or I would leave, like, a basil blueberry and tequila infused salad.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I will say the signature margarita cocktail that we had was really good. It was like basil blueberry margarita.
Yeah, so it was tequila and triple sec, I think, which were easier to...
Yeah, which that is a margarita. It's tequila, triple sec, and lime is your go-to margarita.
And that was pretty good. I did make, though, and I feel like this one-ups the watermelon mojito, was I took... just regular white rum. I really like white rum. And I made a strawberry watermelon lemonade.
Ooh.
And then added mint and let that sit for a while. That was super delicious.
You know, I like a good like whiskey lemonade mix.
You think?
Yeah, I think it's very southern. It makes me think of like just some southern lady like with like a big old hat like on a Sunday afternoon. Like that's exactly the vibe I get from like from a whiskey lemonade.
Okay, don't let me forget because I will get, there's a really good whiskey company and it's called Bird Dog, I think. Bird Dog Whiskey with the blueberry whiskey and lemonade.
Oh, ooh,
really good.
Okay. I'm a big fan of Buffalo Trace whiskey.
Really?
Yeah. I could just sip that. Ooh, speaking of things I could sip, this is our alcohol episode. Crown Royal has put out a peach.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, like just Crown Royal peach.
It's Couture.
It's Couture. God damn it. If you listen to our minisode on Monday, you understand that joke.
If you didn't, go back and listen, yeah, and then you will.
Couture. you can just do Crown Royal Peach, like on the rocks, and it's a perfect summer beverage.
Okay, I love that.
Also, so there's new to me, but not new to the world, sweet tea vodka. Okay. Like it's a, like just sweet tea flavored vodka. You do that with water and a little bit of lemon juice. Wonderful.
Ooh, I have not heard that. That is new to me, too.
Ask what me what food I like.
What, that's that too. What foods are you into? I feel like we should say, like, okay, I'm into Indian food, Cajun food, Ethiopian food, Chinese food, Japanese, Vietnamese. I like all of them.
I just had some Ethiopian food the other day that was really good.
Yeah.
It was like a pastry, like a flaky pastry, and mm-hmm. it had like lentils and other veggies inside.
Yeah.
You know, whew, delicious. I got it from the Blue Nile Cafe.
I fucking love Blue Nile.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's a cafe here in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. And you should go there and give them your money. And it's real yum. I think Ethiopian's probably one of my favorites.
I do love Ethiopian. I miss Blue Nile's lunch buffet, because they don't do buffets right now because, you know,
COVID.
Yeah. But it was wonderful and cheap.
Yeah.
And that's what I like most about it. But
anyway, what are the foods that you like?
I like so much.
Yeah.
I really love to try new foods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my go-to saying is I'll try anything twice, because the first time might not be a good experience. It might be a fluke. So I really love, like, if you come at me with something exotic or new, I'm going to really love that.
Yeah.
I like sushi a whole lot, but not in, like, the white girl way. Like
the California roll.
Yeah, I like sushi. But I do love whenever there's, like, an interesting take that a restaurant has on sushi. Yeah. Like, I usually enjoy that.
Yeah.
That being said, the worst sushi I ever had was in Lawton, Oklahoma. It was, everything on that menu was fried.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even kidding. It was all fried. Which, you can fry sushi, but Jesus.
All of it?
Yeah. All of it. Yeah, all of it. So I like sushi. I really like Mexican. I lived in a Hispanic community for a good while in the DC area, and I grew to love, like, just really authentic Hispanic food. Ooh, I tried pig bladder there.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know I was trying it at the time.
What was the texture of pig bladder?
Spongy. But it was good. It was fried, and this guy was just, like, cooking it in his yard with his son, like, a vat.
Yeah.
And he's, like, beckoning me over. He couldn't speak any English, so his son was translating.
Mm-hmm.
So he offered me some food, and I ate it, and stereotypically, it tasted like lime and salt. But it was good. It was really good. And so I was like, what is this? And he asked his dad, and he's like, what is it? Bladder? Bladder's the word. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm glad I didn't know first.
Yeah.
I mean, I still would have tried it, but I didn't want any preconceived bladder notions.
Right.
But it was tasty. Pig bladder. Good.
Yeah. I mean, anything prepared the right way is good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It's easier for me to list the foods I don't like.
Yeah. Green beans.
I love green beans.
No.
But I don't like them steamed. Why steam them? What are you doing?
I don't know.
Put them on the skillet. Get them a little crunchy. I don't like scalloped potatoes.
I also don't super love them.
I'll
eat them.
I don't understand how, you know, potatoes, good. Cheese, good. Potatoes and cheese, blah.
I feel like it is, like, a texture thing. It's just not right.
I've hated them ever since I can remember.
Yeah.
Like, since I was a small child. I'm not, and this is a point of contention with literally everybody I know, the biggest fan of macaroni and cheese.
You are not the biggest
fan? I'm not the biggest fan of macaroni
and
cheese.
Have you ever had my Cajun mac and cheese?
No.
Would you try it?
As long as it doesn't have cayenne pepper in it, because I would die.
Okay, it does.
I wouldn't die, but it would just be an uncomfortable day for me.
It does, but I can make it without it.
Okay. Other than that, like, I like most things. I just like food. I really like food.
I really like food as well. I really like to experiment in the kitchen.
I remember when we were on Vanche's podcast, and the question was my favorite food, and I was just like, food? I like food.
Yeah. I think Doug's favorite food is free food.
Free food is great food. all free food is good.
Mm-hmm.
I ate piranha once in the Amazon.
And?
It felt like poetic justice. Take that, piranha. People bite back. But tastes like fish. I mean,
poetic justice, yes and no. Like, can a piranha fuck you up? Sure. But, like, which species is winning?
Oh, yeah, definitely us. And also, like, there's a lot of hype around piranhas that movies have made that is not necessarily the same.
Yeah.
Like, if you're bleeding and they're nearby, they're gonna come at you, like, yeah. But if you're just in the water, while I was in the Amazon, I swam often in the Amazon River. Mm-hmm. And one time, like, our translator, I was like, you think there's, like, piranhas? Like, I haven't, like, noticed any. Yeah. I haven't died. And
been shredded yet.
And he was like, I guarantee you I could put a piece of raw meat on a string and put it right where you are and catch 10 piranhas. And I was like, I'm going to get out.
Okay, but you had piranha. What did you think of piranha?
It tastes like fish. I mean, yeah. It was good. It was prepared really well. It was grilled so like we stayed on a riverboat. Mm-hmm. Like that's where we were living for the few weeks we were there. And the riverboat's captain's wife cooked it up specifically for me. It was super sweet. I don't know why.
She just knew that you would try it.
Also, what I got hooked on that trip. I do love Brazilian food, by the way. I just mm-hmm. absolutely love it. Is fried plantain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good. The captain's wife would often like just make a whole bunch of fried plantain chips mm-hmm. for everybody. Also, Brazilian pizza is really weird. It's just different. I don't know how to describe it, but it's different.
One of my friends told me that the best pizza he's ever had was in Peru.
I wonder if it's similar.
It could be. I'll have to ask him about it just to see. But there's also in Peru, there's so many, because Peru is a coastal place, mm-hmm. or a lot of it is, like Lima and all that. It's right on the water. It's like a port city. So there's been a hell of a lot of influence of all different mm-hmm. kinds of food. I do love that about food. Like,
yeah.
It just like anything else, the more diverse the food culture is, the better the food is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's even true here, like in the US. Like,
yeah.
The more diverse of a city that you're in, the better the food is.
Yeah, that's everybody knows it.
When I lived in DC, that's where I really expanded a lot of my taste.
Yeah.
Just so much good food there.
So much good food. I want to talk about, really quick, I think that there's a good version of something and the bad version of something. A lot of people don't like tomatoes, but I think those people have never had a good tomato. Because a good in-season tomato that tastes like sunshine is a completely different food.
I don't know if I've ever had a bad tomato. Like, I just love tomatoes.
I also love tomatoes, but a lot of people don't. But I feel like it's because they have not had the good version of it.
Maybe.
Like yeah. You know how there's coffee, mm-hmm. and then there's good coffee, mm-hmm. and it's two completely different experiences? It is
very, very different. Like, and I think it depends on, like, this is actually, I think, a good segue into, like, why you like or don't like the food that you like or don't like. That was great.
I feel like all of those words in that order together.
I think where you get your food from matters. Especially when it comes to taste. Like, and this is not coming from, like, I don't want to come off as a snob at all, but, like, I think a lot of, like, the tomato thing.
Yeah.
Some people may just genuinely don't like them, but I don't understand that, because it just tastes like freshness. Like,
it does. That's exactly why I'm confused.
Yeah, but I think that there are box grocery stores and retailers where you can buy food where they're not going to have the freshest produce.
Yeah.
And that is going to severely affect your food experience.
I agree. And that's why I've always sort of pushed for the idea of a community garden,
mm-hmm.
because I do feel like having access and a community building experience to, like, having access to good, clean food and also being able to build a community experience out of that is the way of the future.
I think that actually that's a hit on part of enjoying food is it's an experience. And the more you add to that experience, and, like, so you're adding, like, the pride of growing your own food. Like, I got those tomatoes going, and I got some peppermint going.
Mm-hmm.
And the pride of that is going to enhance that experience even more, plus the community experience.
Yeah.
Like, that's all a part of the food experience, and that's going to make your food experience more enjoyable, I think.
I think also everybody has to drink their mimosa every time we say experience and hot waffle. That's the new game.
Hot waffle, hot waffle, hot waffle, hot waffle.
Experience. But you're absolutely right. I think that's why for so many people, cooking and feeding the people that they love is such a show of affection. Because it is. It's so important for, and I think I even talked about this in our last podcast. Food is exactly that thing where you have to do it. It's a matter of survival, just like clothing protects us. So we've turned that into art.
Mm-hmm.
Food you need in order to be alive. So we've created a whole thing about it. Yeah. I would say most cultures can be sort of like summed up in their clothing and in their food practices and in their food culture.
If you have to do it, you might as well have fun with it, right? You know,
and make it worthwhile.
I think so too. A lot of people's experience with food starts as a child. Obviously.
A lot? Did you say a lot?
So here's what I mean. Here's what I mean. Some children don't get fed. No, but I mean like a lot of like what you like and don't like.
Yeah.
So with certain foods, begin with how it was prepared for you as a child.
Yes.
Bobby is a very picky eater.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that is because his parents weren't cooks really, you know, which is crazy because they lived on a farm, but they just didn't cook. They didn't cook food. Gotcha. And so, he didn't get experience, you know, and then the experience that he did get when they cooked food was meh.
Yeah.
Which is like, so I grew up thinking that Brussels sprouts were disgusting. Mm-hmm. But then I learned it's because the only way my parents cooked it was boiling them.
Yeah. Which is flavorless.
It's flavorless. Anytime you boil a food, you're just boiling the flavor out of it.
And especially if it's Brussels sprouts, you're just making boiled toot pucks.
It just tastes like farts.
And then you
like,
have farts.
Yeah. instead, like, you know, you can roast them. Mm-hmm. That's basically the only way that I will accept.
That you'll eat them.
Yeah, roasted. Grilled, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I've never grilled Brussels sprouts.
I've had grilled, and they're good. Anything that you can do to a Brussels sprout just to make them soft enough to eat.
But kind of crunchy.
But give them a bit of crunch, a bit of flavor, and not completely take it away by boiling them and adding nothing to them.
Yes.
They're good.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that like, however we experience food as a kid really can stick with us. And so like you get these picky eaters who also like some of them, it could be that sensory wise, they just have a much more acute sensory experience than we do.
That is exactly true. And I used to put people in categories. Everybody knows a chicken nugget person. A chicken nugget person is
Bobby's a chicken nugget person.
Yes. Somebody who eats basically chicken nuggets, goldfish, and like one other thing and only that forever. Mm-hmm. Anything else is not okay. It's like everything that is the color of a chicken nugget.
So my niece Violet, she's 20 years old and still just that she doesn't eat vegetables at all. And she's like, she was malnourished her whole childhood, like to the point like pediatricians were like, you guys feeding her? Like, we're trying.
Yeah. And part of that has to do with, it is a sensory thing. Mm-hmm. It is also a control thing.
Yeah.
Very anxious kids or kids who are growing up in a way where there's too much control put on them or not enough will push into being extremely
like, because I can control what goes in my mouth.
Exactly. And you come up with weird rules and you're like, nothing that is the color white.
I've just always liked food. And I even remember as a kid, like, experimenting, like, when I, like, understood the concept of a picky eater, it's like, am I a picky eater? Do I only want to like certain things? And I was like, no, I like food.
Yeah.
I like all food. All food is good in the Lord's eyes.
In the Lord's eyes. The Lord is Doug, by the way.
Yeah, I am the Lord. Lord of Brunch.
Lord of Brunch. That's the name of the episode.
The Lord of Brunch. But I think, too, like, brunch, actually, going back to, like, food is an experience. Like, why do you like brunch? It's basically you're eating...
At a good time.
But
you're not... It's not too early.
Brunch is an experience because it's, like, a special event.
Yes.
And that's why brunch is... In your mind and in your heart.
Why branched is the brunch of podcasts.
Brunched.
Because we're in your mind and in your hearts, and we come at a really good time of day. And there's lots of mimosas.
We frequently come with alcohol. Yeah, it's great. Oh my God. So, not really brunch related, other than it also gives you the chance to drink alcohol at what otherwise would be an inappropriate time of day.
Yeah.
So, I was when I was flying back here... from visiting my family, I had a layover at DFW for an hour, and it was like 9 a.m. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go find me some breakfast. Mm-hmm. And that's when I discovered that there is an all hours of the day Pizza Hut bar.
Oh my God.
Just fully stocked bar. And it's open. And so I texted a picture of it to Bobby, and I was like, BRB, going to go get drunk at a Pizza Hut at 9 a.m. and I didn't, though. I had McDonald's.
I was actually really worried for a hot second because the only food I found in that particular terminal was at Chick-fil-A. And I was like, I'm so hungry.
Oh my God, I know.
And I won't.
No, we can't. We can't. They're just getting
worse. It's not even that good. Like,
it's pretty good.
No. I refuse. Because it's the same chicken over and over and over again. It's just... Do you want to know their secret? Pickle juice. It's just pickle juice.
Yeah. That and the brine. I getcha.
That's it. And but they just take the same breaded chicken and present it in different ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do you like their one menu item?
I getcha. But we do need to go from there. And I feel like Chick-fil-A is honestly a pretty good segue into our next topic, which is let's talk about the differences in how we eat generationally.
Yeah.
So, like, how do boomers look at food? How do millennials look at food? How does Gen Z look at food?
I think, like, a good starting point is how each generation looks at meat.
Yeah.
Because boomers, and then even, like, in my early 20s, like, I don't know if this was, like, my Oklahoma raisings or what have you.
Yeah.
I have this very, very concrete idea that a meal is not a meal unless there is meat. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your meat. That is
a very, very American way of thinking,
yeah. Like, obviously, when we're talking about these generations, we can only really talk about them in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know that we have, like, 3 French listeners. I see you on our statistics. I know that you guys do food so much better than us, and I don't even want to hear about it. So.
Yes.
We recognize. Moving on.
Although, if I can attack French cuisine just really quick, I do believe that the epitome of good cuisine is in, like, Thailand and India, and the places where there is much more depth of flavor and there's so much more complex. Yeah, anyway, like, let me French cuisine.
The French have a better idea on food in theory, but somehow in practice, you guys don't have a lot of flavor.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about the boomers.
But your cuisine is still way above England, which just believes in boiling shit.
Just boiling shit and just beans.
Like, they... England. What the fuck,
it's guys? It's raining and it's just always sad.
Just,
there.
Like, so it looks bland outside. It looks bland outside, so you think, let's make our food this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just get it together.
Do better.
Brexit your way out of that.
Brunch your way out of that.
Brunch it.
Brunch it.
It's like Brexit.
But brunch it.
Brunch it. Brunch it your way out of bland food, please.
That's the name of the episode.
Oh my God, stop. Brunch it your way out of bland food. There's too many names of this episode. I'm just going to, like, just put all
put
of them.
All of them. I love it. But you're right, though. I think that the way that we look at meat, I mean, especially, you're right, and we do have to go from a very, like, American perspective, because while it is changing generation to generation, it is very much an American ideal of meat and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a meal.
Well, it's like you have your protein, which in this case means meat.
Yeah.
Because convincing these people who think this way, mostly boomers, that there's protein outside of meat is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you have your protein, and then you have 1 to 2 sides, and that is your meal. And I think that was, you know, that was around before them, too. You know, the what were they called? The greatest generation, their parents?
Yeah.
They did that, and I think they really solidified that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to millennials, and we, first of all, just don't have fucking time.
We don't have time. It's expensive, and we are aware of the impact that meat has.
Yeah, factory farming.
Not good.
If you guys don't know about factory farming, just look it up. It really is, one, just gruesome, but two, just a horrible blight on our environment.
It's just, it's not sustainable.
It's not. It is not. Support small farms. I think that, like, the majority of us still eat meat, and you still see a lot of, like, vegan bashing happening.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. Like, people are always like, oh, vegans are so obnoxious. But I think it's one of those things. There's a lot of trends on social media where people will just be like, this is so terrible. Can you believe people say this? And we're like, I don't know if you've actually seen any people say it, though.
Right.
Like, or if it's just you assume someone out there is saying it. Like, there's a lot of people saying that how obnoxious vegans are.
Yeah.
And, like, shove stuff down people's throats, but every vegan I know is, like, almost really timid in admitting that they're vegan because there's so much vegan bashing that happens.
Yeah.
So millennials still do that. Millennials still have, like, kind of a weird obsession with meat.
Yeah.
And I eat meat most meals, but from my stint as a vegan for, like, a couple years, I
can appreciate a meatless meal.
Yeah. And I think too, and that's how I started, is just sort of taking meat away mm-hmm. from certain meals. It's like, because it's a slow thing. You have to adjust, because one thing that you have to remember is that your body and the microbiome in your gut has to change to fit the way that you are eating. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a while.
If you want to enhance your all-day brunch experience, it's not even just about like, okay, if the environmental problem with factory farming doesn't appeal to you, the animal cruelty side of it doesn't appeal to you, that's fine. I'm not literally not judging you. We all can only focus on a finite number of things.
That is very true.
But when you take meat out of the equation, mm-hmm. it forces you to look at things that you otherwise wouldn't have looked at. And yeah. it opens up a whole new world of food.
And I have made so many strides just in being a cook by taking meat out of it yeah. and being like, how am I going to make this thing good? And it's like, I really enjoy the challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is absolutely true. It's made me a much better cook. And like, even just like, cooking for my vegan friends, like yeah. having to think outside the box, because I'll be damned if I make a bad meal,
right?
You know,
right.
So I'm going to think outside the box. Oh, I'm going to look up different things. And there's a couple of really fun vegan cookbooks out there too. Thug Kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's a little kitschy because mm-hmm. it's just like, you didn't take the motherfucking quinoa, but you take that kitschiness aside, they have some really great recipes.
I don't like quinoa.
It's okay. It's a little too... I think it's the size. It's yeah. so small and yeah. it gets stuck in my teeth.
Yeah.
And that's
just,
really it.
It's not my favorite.
You know what I don't like at all? Hmm. Millet.
Millet?
Fucking millet. It's birdseed. Like, take it out of my food. It's crunchy and it just, like, sets my nerves on edge every time one crunches in my teeth.
What about, like, sesame seeds? Like, or if you have, like, toasted sesame seeds in
the Okay, place? So that's fine because those aren't as... bad.
I like, suppose they're a little bit bigger.
Millet is just like these round tiny, little tiny. Bullets mm-hmm. that assault your mouth.
Yeah.
I just can't see how anybody likes it. And I don't know if maybe I'm not doing millet right. But every time, like I used to
you have
make...
to, you have to take a peanut, or you have to take a pine cone, roll it in peanut butter, and then put the millet around it. And then you eat it.
Oh.
Yeah.
The birds taught me that.
The bird.
With Tippi Hedren. I used to make these breakfast bars, and the first time I made them, it's actually a recipe out of Thug Kitchen. Mm-hmm. It called for millet, and so I put it in there, and it was atrocious. But then I took the millet out, and they're great.
So, millet is bad.
Millet is bad.
Millet is bad, and everything is brunch.
But back to, like, so, looking at our generational approach to food mm-hmm. via meat.
Yes.
I think that millennials kind of started getting a little bit more experimental, because... And again, I grew up in the South and in the Midwest. All the boomers I know are very set in their ways.
Right.
Like, they don't want to try new things. Like, it's always my favorite thing to suggest going out to sushi with a boomer. Mm-hmm. Because I just want to see what they do.
That's why I wanted to get into restaurants and dining out mm-hmm. as a generational thing. Because yeah. I kind of want to say that to boomers, it's more important to go out to a restaurant. Because it's the act of going out that is good. But... it's a very specific kind of restaurant that they want to go to.
They're keeping Cracker Barrel in business.
Right.
Which, why?
I really like the little grocery store part of Cracker
Barrel.
Well,
like, let me tell you. Do you like the taste of beige?
Yep.
Because if so, do I have the restaurant for you?
It's Cracker Barrel.
They just don't believe in seasoning there. And that's probably why boomers like it.
It's just gravy in different packages.
But I will say, okay, we are also talking about white boomers.
Yeah.
When you get into different ethnicities, it's sort of the same thing, but with different foods.
Yeah.
They are very stuck in there. Like, these are the foods we eat.
But, I mean, that's the epitome of boomers, right? The mm-hmm. older you get, the more stuck in your ways that you are.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that is it a boomer thing or is it just an age thing?
Isn't it just an age thing? I do feel like our generation has been so adamant on pushing for change and doing this and doing that it's going to become an innate part of our being. And even as we age, while we will, of course, get more and more stuck in our ways, it won't be to the same extent, or we won't feel threatened by other things.
I think circumstances are different between when boomers were aging and now when we are aging.
Yeah.
Like, that's also, like, boomers will always say you're going to get more conservative as you get older, but that's... Yeah. Because conservatism really appealed to them because they were able to have so much and own so much and really work their way up.
Yeah, and we will never experience that.
And yeah,
we came of age in an economic recession. It's the same, but worse now for Gen Z. Yeah. So I think that we're going to have to be scrappier and we're going to have to be a little bit more experimental with everything, but also with food. And I think that that plays a part in it too.
Yeah.
Though I'll say we do love our restaurants.
Yeah.
We do love our brunches.
We love our brunch.
I know I just said I miss Blue Nile's buffet, but I don't love buffets.
Yeah.
Because when I think buffet, I just think like Golden Corral.
I really like their buns though.
Yeah. They're like dinner rolls. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to fuck up a dinner roll.
It's just, yeah, it's just poofy bread with a shit ton of butter on it.
Yeah, like, that's
how
it.
How could it be bad?
Yeah. So I suppose it could happen. Isn't there a place in like Branson or some shit where they throw dinner rolls at you?
Yeah, I've been there. I was a kid, but so I don't remember, but yeah. It was cool.
Yeah, I just, that's anxiety inducing.
Just, you're just sitting and you're trying to have a good, normal argument with your family, like you do at dinner, and then just poof, the fucking biscuit hitting you in the head.
So we've talked about boomers, we've talked about us, Gen Z.
I don't know what to think about Gen Z.
I don't know a lot of Gen Z, but I think that they're really coming to... The older part of Gen Z is really coming to an age where they can start experimenting. So I think that we haven't really seen Gen Z's food growth yet.
You're right.
Like,
you're right.
Because the oldest are just like 20, 21, yeah.
You know. They don't know how to eat yet.
Yeah. So they're at that age. Like, I remember when I was 21, I knew nothing about food.
No, me neither. I made really bad food.
Oh, yeah. I thought I was making great food, but I made like super sweet spaghetti sauce and it was just gross looking back on it. But. Yeah, it was bad. You know, we talk about like kind of global situations affecting how we do eat.
Mm-hmm.
Gen Z is coming of age in one of the worst global pandemics of our time. You know, where public eating is less likely to be appealing.
Right.
I think we're going to see buffets go away entirely. I don't think they're coming back.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I'm curious what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, there's going to be, like, a whole new world at the end of all of this. And I think you're right. And Gen Z will have to be either at the forefront of it or will be coming up in it. And that will change food probably forever.
Mm-hmm.
Funnily enough, another thing that, to go back to boomers and millennials, is boomers attack millennials for the avocado toast.
I just don't understand.
And they use it to be like, this is why millennials are whiny crybabies, because they just need their avocado toast.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they'll just go spend money on avocado and toast and their $5 coffees. And I'm like, yeah, well, you guys carpeted over beautiful hardwood floors, so we all have our issues.
Yeah, we can do a whole episode about fucking carpet next.
Just why? Oh my God. So, like, Bobby and I are thinking of buying a house. Mm-hmm. Now we think we're going to probably try to make an offer on this house, but... I was looking at houses on like Trulia and Realtor.com, and multiple houses have had carpeted kitchens and carpeted bathrooms.
Ew.
Yeah.
Why?
Like, why? Like, that was a choice.
Like, you know what I want?
Hmm.
A really stained, discolored, loose, wet, and grimy carpet.
Like, how disgusting a carpeted bathroom is, I can't even put into words.
Yeah.
And carpeted kitchen, too. Like, you know how much stuff I spill on kitchen floors? So much. I'm a messy cook.
It's the kitchen.
Yeah. Like, why would you carpet that? You have to just, like, steam clean every other day.
Mm-hmm. Every other fucking day.
Yeah.
It just sounds so gross.
So that's our carpet episode.
It's got to be, like, brown carpet if you want to, like, hide those
We things. Should do a carpet episode and call it carpet bombing.
That's our next episode. Everybody be on the lookout for that. I promise.
For the carpet bombing episode.
I guarantee we can make that interesting as hell. Actually, you know what? That is going to be our next episode.
Okay.
Because you know what the larger branch of that whole thing is going to be?
Hmm.
Housing.
Oh. Oh.
So that's a little preview into next week's episode. We're going to close out brunched.
Brunched.
Mm-hmm. And.
So did you guys drink your mimosas?
Did you finish them? You should have.
You should have finished several. It's been an hour.
Yeah.
It's been an hour.
I'm pretty sure you drink six mimosas an hour, or you didn't drink
mimosas. Oh my God, drag brunch.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to drag brunch?
No, I've not.
I think they're starting up again, and if it's safe, we should go.
Yeah.
But they do, so it's unlimited mimosas, bottomless mimosas for $10.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous. And the drag queens and other wait staff
mm-hmm.
will peer pressure you into chugging your mimosa so they can give you more. Like, it's ridiculous. And it's mostly orange juice, but you drink like 15.
Yeah. It's still drinking.
thank you for brunching with us.
Thank you for brunching with us. I think our closing statements for this particular topic is going to be everything is brunch.
Everything is brunch. Nothing is not brunch.
Nothing is not brunch.
There's never a wrong time to drink in the day. Is that right? Did we do it?
Yeah.
Is that it?
I would say there's never a wrong time to brunch. And
if it's not a wrong time to brunch, then there's not a wrong time to drink.
That's, you know what? That's true. That's true.
By the transitive process.
I would really love to keep this conversation going because I love food. I love to cook. I love to talk about it. And there's so many other parts of this that we'll have to get into in a part two. We're talking about farming. We'll talk about really and truly like the getting down and deep into where food come from.
Mm-hmm. Where food come from.
Where food come from. And why.
What even is food?
What even is how do you eat food?
What even is they?
Well, according to Doug, most children have experience with food.
I can't say with certainty that 100% of children experience food.
You're right.
So that's somber.
So we'll have to get into that. And I would really love it if you guys emailed us at branchpodcast@gmail.com.
Recipes.
Send us your recipes. Send us your first experience with food and if it happened to you in childhood or not.
How did we go through this whole episode without talking about ridiculous online recipe articles?
Oh my God. Have you guys seen those videos of like Tastemade or something where it's just... I have to find these. It's like Instagram 15-second recipes, and it's just fucking cheese. Where they'll take like a grilled cheese and wrap it in a pizza and then deep fry it and then soak it in like queso.
Jesus, I have heartburn listening to that.
Disgusting.
There's also Owen Kalin, and he will... It's just reaction videos to those type of things, like those like recipe videos. Anyway... Yeah, email us at Branch Podcast. Email us your recipes and we'll eat them and talk about it.
Yeah, we'll definitely do a whole series on that. Just like a video series on that. Of us cooking them and us eating them.
Also, we keep talking about video series. They are going to happen, I promise.
That's my job this week is to figure them out.
Yeah, and I know we've been saying it, but there are big things in the works. Big things are coming.
Big things are coming.
You're about to be able to find us on... just an explosion of more platforms. So really anywhere you turn around, Branch will be there.
Branch will be there.
Watching you.
And we are on social media at Branch Podcast.
Where are
on
we?
Branch Podcast?
At Branch Podcast?
Under social media.
Yeah, you can literally all social media, Facebook.
Mm-hmm. You can also send us recipes and stuff on Instagram and on Facebook. Just tag us in your posts. That'd be great.
Can you guys tweet at us?
Yeah.
Our Twitter is very inactive. Just tweet at us.
What even is Twitter? Get us on Twitter, because I don't even know.
And if you like what we do, and only if you like what we do, please leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening on right now, if you have the ability. Apple Podcast, big deal. Stitcher, mm-hmm. Podcast Addict, literally all of these, you can leave reviews.
Yeah.
Pandora, I think.
Yeah, we're going to game the algorithm until we are suggested to boomer listeners.
Yeah, oh my God. Please, in your reviews, recommend something like home improvement stuff or
what else?
Fox News.
Carpet.
Carpet.
Mm-hmm. 5 out of 5.
Tim Allen.
Yes. Love it. Definitely do, though. Leave us your reviews. It really is helpful for us. And please reach out. We want to keep this conversation going. We want it to be a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
We make this like a conversation between the two of us and to everybody else.
Yeah, it's really a conversation that includes the three of us.
Yes.
As we have one listener. No. Yeah.
You're great.
We've just put you guys all into one listener. And also, special thanks, Wick and the Tricks, for use of their song Mastermind. You can find them on Spotify and iTunes or on social media at Wick and the Tricks. That's
it.
That's all of the things that we say.
Get brunched.
Get brunched.
Bye.
Bye. We harmonized on that one.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. That was fun.
That was fun.